Hey everyone, it's Jim, the host of your favorite Bible study podcast. I just wanted to jump on real quick before going into today's episode to let you guys know that I goofed up a little bit, so very sorry about this. When I planned the interview that we're about to get into with my lovely sister Kayla, I mistakenly got mixed up with my study, what I had written out, what I had recorded, and I refer to a couple of things a couple times in the interview with Kayla that we had finished a study on Proverbs 31 when I meant to put this interview prior to our study on Proverbs 31. So you're going to hear me talking about it like it's in the past, but don't worry, you didn't miss anything. It's in the future. It is the next set of verses and it's the next section that we're going to get into with our study on marriage in marriage life. So again, very sorry for the slight confusion, but the interview is so good and it was really encouraging to me. It was encouraging to her. When we finished up, we were just kind of thinking after the interview how much we enjoyed the time that we had together, how much we were encouraged by it. So, and I know that you guys are going to be encouraged by it as well. So again, please forgive me for the little mix-up. Again, we are going to study Proverbs 31 in the very next section. But before we do that, we're going to do this interview with my good friend, good sister in Christ, Kayla. You're going to love it. Here she is. Hey, everyone. I'm your host, Jim. And this is the Bible study. Today I am with Kayla of the Proverbs 31 Women podcast. Welcome, Kayla.
Thanks, Jim, for having me. Hi, everyone. I'm glad that I'm able to be the guest on Jim's show.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. I've known you for quite a few years now. I met you when you were 15.
Wow, then it's been a while.
Because I remember I got saved in 2012 and met you shortly after that, so because obviously I met you through your dad,
right?
And then I think you were about 15.
Wow. When I met you. So that was around the time I went to Cambodia.
Yeah, it was right before. Yes, it was right before you went. I remember that. So it was right before you went, and then you went to Cambodia, and you came back. Same country that my dear, lovely wife is from.
And it's funny because I met Yaya before you did.
Yes, you did. You did meet my wife first. Yeah. So, crazy. And I remember when I told you about meeting Yaya, you were like, oh, I know her. She's awesome. And I was like, I'm glad you think that. Because I'm going to get married to her.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, Jim is like an older brother to me. I only have one sister. So when I found out who he was interested in, who he wanted to court, I was totally for it. Because if it wasn't someone I approved of, I would make it clear to him. But Yaya made the cut.
Yeah, I have no doubt that your spicy Puerto Ricanness would have come out if there was somebody that you did not approve of.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So tell me what your podcast is about. Proverbs 31 Women. What's that about?
Okay, my podcast is about encouraging all women. At first, I thought it was only going to be for young women specifically, but then it evolved more as God molded my heart throughout the time with, you know, recording new episodes, and the people that ended up watching it weren't just young women, but they were women of all ages, multi-generational, multi-ethnic. And so it became about everyone. And Proverbs 31 is not a chapter in the Bible limited to a specific age group.
All right.
And it discusses many aspects of a woman's life. And the different aspects of a woman's life isn't just when, you know, they're married or when they're single or even in motherhood, but it talks about self-esteem, character, diligence, strength. It does include like married life and motherhood, but it's more than just that. I wanted to create this podcast because when I first read Proverbs 31, it gave me a blueprint of the godly character the Lord wants me to display in every stage of my life. Mm. Yeah. So even if I'm not married in the future, I already know that I'm securing Jesus. And I want every listener to know that, because in this world of seeking attention in relationships and, you know, I feel like that's the big goal of the world, especially for a woman, a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning that every woman actually encounters that. But I wanted every listener to know that they're already fulfilled in Jesus. And that is what stands out to me from Proverbs 31. So I wanted to project that.
That's cool. And I remember when I first learned of your podcast and started listening to that, you know, obviously not because I'm a woman and need to know what the Bible says about a woman, but, you know, I, like you had mentioned, you know, I'm grateful to be, you know, an older brother in your life. And I was just curious to what you're doing in ministry and what God's put on your heart. And so, you know, obviously, you know, I'm a consistent listener of your podcast. And so that's, it's really blessed me to hear what you're doing and see what God's called you to do. Let me ask you a couple questions on that. So one, I know that the podcast has turned to, has given you opportunities. Cause I think, what was it, last year you were invited to speak at a conference because somebody listened to your podcast. Is that right?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. My best friend, her mom has a women's ministry. Not just all women, but girls. Mm-hmm. So it's called Time Out for the Girls. And it's basically like, young girls or, you know, teenage girls with their moms, and they come together and talk about the word of God, and, you know, they relate it to different areas of their life. And my best friend, her mom reached out to me, and she, I guess, listened to my podcast or heard about it and wanted me to teach in this church at the east side of Cleveland, I never heard of. She connected me with the pastor's wife over there, and hearing their heart and what, you know, the reason why they wanted me to join was they wanted me to show the girls that were there that, you know, you can have a heart for Jesus at any age of your life. It doesn't start when you're older. Because I feel like a lot of girls that grow up in the church, they have a view of Jesus, but a lot of the times the solid devotion relationship isn't there yet. And so, you know, they were expressing to me that the girls, they kind of, you know, they want their daughters to have that heart for the Lord without forcing them. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted a younger woman to come and say, like, you know, I love Jesus. And I grew up in a home that, you know, Christian my whole life, but I had to make that decision for me.
Yeah.
And the reason why I did that was because I found the most fulfillment that, you know, it couldn't compare it to if I chose the world.
Yeah.
So
no, that's really good. And it's really cool too, to see that, you know, I'm sure when you started your podcast, it wasn't with the intention of trying to get speaking engagements or anything like that. It was just, you're trying to pour out your heart, you know, and share with whoever would listen. And so for that to also be kind of an added benefit to come into that, I'm sure that was really cool.
Yeah.
You know, so another thing that I'm thinking of, you know, as we're talking about this is, you know, obviously on our app, we can see on some of our analytics, like, where people are from, age groups, like you were saying, and you realized that people were like of all ages. And so you kind of shifted, it kind of morphed and shifted into something a little bit different than when you initially thought.
Yeah.
What's your global reach? Like, do you get many listeners from different countries, or is it mostly just US? Is it all US? What's that like?
I would say it's mostly US. There may be like one or two from another place, but mainly from the US. I like to be very, very vocal about it on my Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So, it will reach people that I'm not even that close to, that, you know, not all my followers on Instagram are like my closest friends. There's some that are acquaintances or someone I just met for the first time and they come across it. And I think one of the craziest encounters with that was, one of my friends, his younger sisters, and they're leaders in youth ministry, and they're like probably 14, 15.
Hmm.
And they're like, oh my gosh, Kayla, we love your podcast. And I just was like, oh my, like, I barely ever see them, and I'm just like,
you know me?
You know, yeah, I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm just speaking behind, like, my phone. So, yeah, I think the only global encounter that, like, I knew of the person was one of the pastors at King North Church from India. I think his daughter mentioned it to me, and she's married, and she has her family, but I want to say she asked me about it, and I'm like, in India, really? Like, that's okay, cool. But yeah, other than that, I'm not, I'd say mainly U.S.
Proverbs 31 going international. That's cool. No, that's cool. So what did that feel like? You know, you're talking about other, you know, like, people that you know, friends, family in the church. Mm-hmm. You had other people, other friends of yours, friends of friends, family of friends come to you and approach you. Hey, I found out you have a podcast. What's that like? Because are you directly reaching out to certain people and then that's how they find out, or they just somehow discover it and you're like, oh, and then they let you know, like, what, how does that happen? And what does that make you feel like, I guess, is what I'd like to know.
Well, at first I would send like the links to my friends, like with all the episodes. They probably got annoyed with me. I was like, when you have a chance, listen, spread the word. So I'd say in the beginning it was more like that. Mm-hmm. My ride or dies, thank you for being patient with me. I would send them stuff. But I'd say it was mainly like Instagram. Just I made my own account devoted just for my podcast. And that's been like the mode of operation. And even like my friends, like they'll, you know, show it off on their Instagram stories, and a lot of my friends have a bigger following than me, so
okay.
It kind of benefits me in the long run. So yeah, I would say just like friends, Instagram, and ultimately God's favor. Even
yeah,
like my
of course, yeah.
My one of the things that moved me the most was that my aunt was listening to it and taking notes. And I just was, like, blown away. I'm like, I can't That's believe cool. that this has made an impact on somebody that I looked up to my whole life, that display what it is to be a Proverbs 31 woman, that she's taking notes about my podcast at the, you know, I'm only 22.
That's killer.
So I'm like, hey, I That's love
cool.
it.
That's cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, let me shift focus a little bit and ask you how you came to know the Lord.
How I came to know the Lord. So as I said earlier, I grew up in church my whole life, but, you know, I was always familiar with Jesus, and I seen him move in my parents' lives and those around us, especially because they're both in ministry. But when I truly began to take my relationship with God seriously, I was 12 years old. It was at a youth conference that our church would throw every year. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, like, it was like a breakout session. So the girls were with the girls, guys were with the guys. And I just remember sitting towards the back of the sanctuary, just like weeping in the presence of the Lord, because I finally understood what it meant to be without Jesus and how scary that is. Mm-hmm. And how broken and lost you are. Because I thought of someone in my life that didn't have God the way I did. And I was just like, Lord, like, I want to devote my life to you. I want to reach others. And that was the verge moment of, okay, this is who I want to serve the rest of my life. So yeah, 12 years old.
That's cool. Wow. And then, so I'm sure your parents were super happy to hear you make that decision, because, you know, I know that your dad's a pastor. So yeah. our campus pastor, actually. Mm-hmm. And your mom's always been very active in the ministry alongside of him, and been mm-hmm. serving the Lord, for
20 plus years.
Yeah. So I'm sure that when you made that decision on your own, that really blessed them. So,
yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So let's get into scripture, more Proverbs. As my listeners know, we just got finished going over several different scriptures in Proverbs. A lot of them are about women. And yes. So one of the biggest reasons that I wanted to have you on the show is because obviously your specialty is Proverbs 31. We just got done going over that specifically as mm-hmm. well. And just as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, you know, it'd be really good to have a woman's perspective on mm-hmm. the scripture, what the scripture says about you as a woman.
Right.
So you've been in the Lord for quite a few years now. What, 10 years? 11 years? Something like that.
So something you're, like that. You're, maybe you're not, a little some change.
Yeah, you're not newbie anymore. You got some time under your belt. So aside from, you know, Proverbs 31, you know, specifically 10 to 31, mm-hmm. what are some of your favorite verses in the Bible that speak to you as a woman, and why do they minister to you?
Okay. I thought about this, and I just was like, what are the women in the Bible that have made a difference in my life, that God has used their stories to mold me and encourage me in different aspects of my life? So, of course, Esther came to mind, and Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about Esther, in Esther chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, it talks about Esther, you know, replying to Mordecai that she's going to fast, and she wants him to fast, because she's getting ready to ask the big question to King Xerxes to save her people.
Mm-hmm.
But I love this scripture because it shows Esther's devotion to the Lord, that she didn't want to move unless God told her, and she wanted to seek him first to get that word in order to approach the king. And so I love Esther, not only because of her heart for the Lord, but her boldness. And it says in the beginning of the book of Esther that she won the favor of everyone who saw her. And it makes me think of, as God's chosen people, we have favor among everyone. Even when we don't see it in the natural, there is, in the regards to spiritual, like, think of how God's favor was over her when, you know, people didn't dare go before a king, you know, unannounced.
Right.
But God's favor was over her, not just when she went to approach him, but throughout the whole process of her, you know, leading up to that point.
Yeah, because in Esther, you know, it's made clear, I think, in multiple places that the things that she was doing, the way she was approaching the king, was like total countercultural. Like, I think at one point for her to address the king, I think in one of the last points where she does talk to him about, you know, petitioning about saving her people, someone makes clear, like, if you do this, you, by law, you're supposed to be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. You know, she was really bold in her faith and just totally trusted the Lord in what she was doing, knowing that she was called to do X, Y, and Z. And so, yeah, that I mean, I can definitely see why that would be really speak to you. Is there more about Esther that spoke to you in that situation, as those scriptures?
I would say in 2017, I received a prophetic word, and the man that God used spoke to me and said, Esther, like, favor. And so after that prophetic word, it ignited me to read the book of Esther again. So that's why I mentioned Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her, because of that prophetic word. And it was like the Lord was just reminding me to go back and see the way that God goes before me and gives me victory, even when I don't see it, and how he's already equipped me for the battle, how he already equipped Esther for the battle. But even more because she sought the Lord. And she didn't lean on her own strength.
Yeah.
Because a relationship with God is all about dependency. And especially in this day and age, it's a lot of, you know, be a strong, independent woman, go after your goals, go, you know, full speed ahead. You don't need a man. Don't think twice. And okay, I get that. The root of that, okay, is very important. I mean, I desire to be a strong woman and independent, but dependent on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Not independent where I don't need anybody. I need him more than anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the world, it's like so polar opposite. And Esther shows me that I need God in every aspect.
That's really good. You know, what's interesting too, and I know this because I'm like a Bible nerd. And I love, like, stupid little details that
I shouldn't say it's stupid, but little details that a lot of people aren't even interested in. But something specific about Esther that always jumped out to me was one thing I like to learn is why certain books in the Bible are considered God-inspired canon. Well, what did the church consider to be, and what were their criteria? Mm-hmm. And usually what one of the basics is that God needs to speak or move in some direct way for it to be considered canon. And something unique about Esther is that, if I'm not mistaken, unless I heard wrong, God is never quoted saying anything in the book of Esther. Mm-hmm. But the reason that people, the Jewish community, obviously, because that's canon for the Jewish faith and definitely canon for Christian faith, is because when you read the book of Esther, it is so abundantly clear that God is all over this thing, that faith mm-hmm. in the Lord is what is motivating every step of someone like Esther. Faith in the Lord is what's motivating Mordecai to be mm-hmm. able to, you know, have the faith, because he, that was giant faith for him too, to be able to turn around and, you know, submit his daughter to the government, not knowing what was going to happen. In fact, he probably had a lot of good assumptions of what could have happened, a lot of bad assumptions, because women were not very, very valued by a lot of outside cultures at that time. Mm-hmm. So women were treated as trophy wives and whatever, and we're just looking for the most beautiful whatever. And so for him to do that, knowing that the Lord was going to take care of his daughter, also took big faith. And just everything about that whole scenario was just, like I said, it was all about God, and that was one of the reasons why they were like, we've got to keep this book in here. And right. and for good reason, you know, that book has blessed me. I love that book. Anytime I'm ministering to any girl that I know, I share with her, you want a good book to read? Ruth and Esther mm-hmm. are like the top two, because they will give you great references to the great godly character of a woman. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's reinforced by what you're saying. It's like it's the first thing you're bringing up. You know, so that's cool. That's mm-hmm. cool. All right. So what else? So what are some other scriptures, places that you go to get encouragement and ministry in the Word?
Okay. I mentioned Ruth, but more specifically Ruth 1:16. And it's when Naomi told her, like, go back to your people, the Moabites. And, you know, the Moabite community or culture was full of idols, and, you know, their gods were contrary to what Naomi believed, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and who is our God, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
But Ruth replied to her and said, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, but it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. And then when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging. Mm. And it shows the devotion that Ruth had for God.
Yeah.
That she caught a glimpse of God reflected in Naomi's life. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm going to go that route. Instead of taking the easy route that her sister-in-law Orpah did.
Yeah.
Just going back to her people, probably going to get married again, and be comfortable with the familiar. But Ruth chose, like, you know, as many Christians, we have the narrow path.
Mm-hmm.
She chose the narrow path. Mm-hmm. And little did she know, she would meet Boaz. And so I love that, because any believer, you know, we go through seasons where we have to choose, you know, what the convenient path or, you know, the narrow one.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say even seasons, but basically throughout our life, we have to choose. And I love that Ruth shows a devotion. And not only that, but like Esther, a bravery
mm-hmm.
and to not pity herself. I mean, she just lost her husband. Naomi just lost her husband and two sons. Like, you know, it just shows that, like, God's fingerprints are all over everything.
Yeah.
Every aspect of this book. But that's the part that gets me, is her devotion and just willingness for the Lord.
Yeah, because you see that too, and you mentioned it, that, you know, it would have been a lot easier for Ruth to go back to her family, her people, her culture. Mm-hmm. It would have been a heck of a lot easier, a lot less change. She would have been able to go back and probably she would have, I'm sure, received a whole lot of encouragement about, see, that God Yahweh, he's nothing. Look what happened to the family you're with. You should come back with us. And they probably would have worked maybe even harder to take care of her as she went back. But, and maybe even knowing that, she was like, no. Like you said, she caught a glimpse of what the Lord can do. She saw a glimpse of godly character in Naomi. And that moment ends up turning to be what we can assume is a conversion moment, where she was like, do I go back to, you know, being a Moabite, or do I serve the Lord? And she says, I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to go with you, no matter whether it's good or bad. I'm going with you, Naomi. And that's, you know, another great example of wonderful godly character, persistence, whatever it takes, I'm going to serve the Lord.
Right.
That's cool. That's cool. Love it. So, and are there other scriptures that speak to you, or I don't know. I guess I'll leave it up to you if you want to jump into Proverbs 31. What's another area maybe that speaks to you in the Word, or maybe we can talk about Proverbs 31. Up to you.
I could say that. Well, one chapter of the Word that really speaks to me about like my worth. Is Psalms 139. That is one of my favorite chapters of the whole Bible. Especially because it just reminds me how God sees me. And that's why I love that in Proverbs 31, because it is how, like, literally a love letter that God wrote to me. And is the blueprint of how he views me and how he wants me to be. And I love how honest it is, and how, you know, when I feel insecure or sad, I just remind myself that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, that he knitted me together in, you know, the secret place, and that his thoughts for me are more than the grains of sand on earth. Like, how amazing is my God to even say that, to use David to write that. But leading into Proverbs 31, it's a beacon of light for me when I need to be reaffirmed of who I am in Christ. In today's world, a lot of emphasis is made about the external self. So your body, skin, hair, clothes, socioeconomic status. And being a young teenager, I was just like, I need something more. This world is not giving it to me. Mm-hmm. I fail in every aspect of trying to keep up with the standards, because everything passes and fades away. And God knew that I needed to know something more, that my spirit was longing for something more than what the world had. And so he led me to this, and I found the blueprint of who he wants me to be and how he sees my heart, and that my beauty's not going to last forever, but my godly character will if I, you know, stay devoted to God and fall more in love with him. But
and that's right how Proverbs 31 ends, you know, is, you know, beauty is vain, it's temporary, but godly character should be highly praised. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just it for me. It's like the one, I don't want to say the one chapter, but it's like, in your faith journey, there's always going to be that one section of the Bible that relates to every area of your life, no matter how old you get. Mm-hmm. And Proverbs 31 is that for me.
Yeah.
And it shares about, again, every aspect of a woman's life.
Yeah.
And I even encourage guys to listen to it, because I'm like, you know what? If you want to find out how to encourage your sister, your wife, your friend, like, listen to my podcast.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, guys, if you want to get the secret and what a girl's thinking and what they're trying to figure out, you know, this might be another good resource for you.
If you want a godly woman of character, I highly recommend.
You can get behind enemy lines here, guys. You know the tactics.
No one will judge you, we promise.
No. Just don't show off that you listen to Proverbs 30. You see flowers and everything on that image. It's just, it'd be hard to explain to your man friends.
Yeah, it's like coated with yellow and Sunflowers.
So, oh goodness, there was something I wanted to say, but I'm blanking. I don't want to kill everybody with my stammering. But so yeah, Proverbs 31, excellent. Like I said, we just got done going over it, so it's cool to kind of hear that input and what you get out of it. Mm-hmm. So let me ask this, maybe conversely, you know, we've talked a lot about what you get out of the word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people that might say or think, you know, differently. So what would you say to somebody who's been told that the Bible is sexist against women, or maybe they've read something themselves and that appeared sexist and they were kind of troubled by it and they're like, I don't know how to handle this. I believe that the Lord loves me. I believe he thinks good things of me. And then, but they see that the Bible, which they're told is the word of God, says this, or they've heard that it says something and it conflicts with maybe that thought.
Okay.
What would you say to someone like that?
Well, first and foremost, I want to give credit to where I'm about to share the information I got from. If you are very passionate about this topic, I highly recommend Unashamed by Christine Kane. Hmm. She's an amazing, world-renowned preacher. She also has a human trafficking organization with her husband. But she addresses the topic of shame in her book, Unashamed. And she addresses how Jesus approached women. And he approached them as daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite parts of the book is when she talks about the woman with the issue of blood and how everyone looked down upon her, especially in that society of just being illegitimate and being forced and basically in her own exile. And how she touched the fragment of his robe and he turned and said, daughter. He didn't say, you wretched woman, you know, sinner, how dare you? He turns and looks at her and just says, daughter. Her whole life full of shame, full of doctors telling her that, you know, she was not able to live a normal life, for the savior of humanity to turn around and view her as daughter, reassures me that God loves every person as creation, no matter if he's man or woman, if they are man or woman. And then the woman at the well who was an adulterer,
mm-hmm.
and how God, he knew her track record. He knew that the man that she was living with wasn't even her husband. And he didn't address her as sinner or adulterer, but was asking her simple questions,
mm-hmm.
and talking about, you know, living water and the salvation that she can receive through him.
Yeah.
And then also, my last point I want to make is that Jesus first appeared to women after he was resurrected.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why was Mary Magdalene part of his ministry?
Mm-hmm.
He saw her as his child, as his daughter. And come on.
Yeah.
You hear all that about Jesus. Come on.
Yeah. And then so you take that, you know, excellent points that you're bringing up about, you know, the character of Jesus and the way he interacted with people. Because it's hard to see, you know, what does God think, you know, when you're talking about an interaction basis, because there's not as much of that when you go to Old Testament or even New Testament letters. It's instruction when you get to New Testament, and it's stories in Old Testament, and mm-hmm. you don't really have God interacting with so many women.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the natural place that you can go to see that, like you said, is Jesus' character, Jesus the person, as he's interacting with women and that he comes in, you know, into contact with. And then, you know, you fall back on the other thing, and we know that Jesus is the Word.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the Word made flesh. He is the Word of God. And so we know that we can see, I think, much more clearly in the character and actions and words of and deeds of Jesus, how that colors the other two ends of the spectrum, where you get to the New Testament letters of, you know, here's the instruction. And you're, how do I make sense of this? Well, make sense of it on the foundation of the character and person of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You go back to Old Testament law and stories. How do I make sense of that? You make sense of it on the character and person of Jesus. And as long as mm-hmm. you have that foundation, it should help to shed a little bit more light, maybe mm-hmm. bring bridge more understanding. Yeah, bridge the gap. That's a great, great term to use. So that's great. I'm really glad that you said that and shared it the way that you did, because I think that really makes a lot of sense. I remember the thing I was going to say earlier. Because something I was thinking about when you were mentioning about kind of your own testimony and when what you get out of Proverbs 31 specifically is that, you know, the world tends to offer nothing but chases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Chase beauty, chase relationships, chase love, you know. And I think specifically with women, that tends to be a big trap, is chasing love. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when you talk to at least people I've spoken to, stories I've heard, a pretty common theme, and maybe you can correct this if it's wrong or shed more light if it's right, but a common theme I think that I've heard is that you see a lot of women who are broken and hurting because they didn't get love from maybe their father,
mm-hmm.
their mother, family, friends. And then because of that brokenness, women need love. It's like your coffee, your spiritual coffee in the morning is love. You know, if you don't have that, like, just imagine your coffee addicted friend going like 2 or 3 days without coffee. Like, that's only a couple of days. And you know your friend would be struggling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so a woman without love is like the same thing. And she's forced to kind of go in different directions to try to fill that gap. And so, you know, and that's what the world offers, is just chase. Hey, chase love. Chase this, chase that. And, you know, going back to example you used, woman at the well, you know, what does the Bible say? What does Jesus say? Come and drink. You will be satisfied.
Right.
You will be filled. Not just it'll be a good drink, it'll be a good time, come on girl, it's like you're gonna drink here, it's never gonna run out, I'm right. never gonna leave you, you will be 100% satisfied, mm. actually to the point of overflow,
right?
You know, mm. and that's what I think that I was a thought that was lingering, and I don't know if you want to comment mm. more of that, or that brings something up, but that when I heard you say that, it reminded me, like, yeah, you know, Jesus is that thing that satisfies us. You know, right. whether man or woman, whatever situation you're in, Jesus satisfies you. And the difference is that the world just, it offers nothing, empty glasses. It offers a taste of satisfaction, of enjoyment, of pleasure, or whatever, and it never fills you. You're always coming back for more, needing a little bit more to satisfy you and satiate the hunger in you, and yet you're never filled.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I wanted to say that in times of my life where I thought about, or, you know, even when the enemy brought distractions that were not from God, thankfully God saved me from dodging a bullet, for lack of better words, in regards to relationships. I've learned that his way is always better than mine.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought felt good in the moment of, you know, entertaining my flesh, it wasn't worth it, because it didn't bring me closer to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But when I just, I have to surrender daily. Salvation isn't just something that you say one prayer and that's it. You're good for life. It's right. constantly renewing your mind. It's 2 Corinthians 10:5, you know, taking those thoughts captive. It's a daily thing. But I would rather work at it daily then chase the things of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Because I caught glimpses of that. Yeah. Of, you know, entertaining my flesh and, you know, almost compromising. But then every time I try to do that, God reminded me of why I can't. And yeah. why he's so much more. And talks about in Psalms that we have the fullness of salvation.
Mm.
And I'm full in him. I have everything that I need. And so I realize the older I get, the more I learn that. And especially if you're listening to this and you're single, just know that you already are complete in Christ, that you are lacking nothing. And God sees you as complete and full. And He's going to overflow what you already have. And for my ladies that have the gift of singleness, God bless you. I do not have it. I'm learning more to fall more in love with Jesus. But those of you that already have it, you don't have a desire to get married, God bless you times a million. But yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good because, you know, you know, I think you said it very well. You know, just talking about falling more in love with Jesus, the continuing to pursue that relationship with him. And I think, too, one thing that makes you very fortunate, because you were raised in Christ, not only were you raised in Christ, but you choose to follow him on your own. It's not a choice someone else made for you. Not only that, but you continue to fill yourself with the word. You continue to fill yourself with worship, with the Spirit. And by constantly doing that, you've done yourself a great favor, because I've known plenty of women, some women we know personally, we're friends with both of them, that when they were faced with temptation to do things God's way or their way, they did it their way. Mm-hmm. And because they didn't fill themselves up with the word like you have and like other women have. Because when you fill yourself up with the word, when the word of God is your foundation, when it's reinforcing every piece of who you are, when temptation comes your way, it's so much easier to resist it. Or I should say to flee it and not be drawn towards it. Right. Does temptation affect all of us? Absolutely, of course, in many different ways. Not just sexually, not just relationally, whatever. You know, temptations, you know, hits everybody differently and sometimes in all areas of their life. But specifically when we're talking about relationships, if you're not filled with the word of God, if you don't know who you are as a woman, or you are as a man for that matter, it's real easy to get caught up in this person who's, you know, catching your eye or talking to you in the right kind of way, and then you forget this person's not even following the Lord. Mm-hmm. This person's not even serving Christ. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they are, maybe they're really young in their faith. Like, you know, is this person right for me?
Right.
And there's still all these questions. And if you are not well found on the word, it's easy to forget that and walk away from that and then be hindering your walk with the Lord and even distracting things that God's called you to do. And like I said, I think that from what I've seen in your life for the last 7-8 years that I've known you, so you've done an excellent job of keeping the word of God as your center, as your foundation. And that, I think, is one of the biggest things that's attributed to your ability to stay faithful to the Lord and not give in to temptation. I just want to commend you on that.
Thank you. So. It's not been easy. There's been many times where it's been close to just hitting that bullet, but I'm not perfect. It's God just reminding me every time I'm almost about to just fall really hard that he just picks me back up again.
I remember, too, getting a couple texts and phone calls from you, like, big brother, I need to hear what I need to hear, not what I want to hear.
Yeah, I just, like, you know, I need, especially, like, you know, when you're facing something that's hard, you need accountability. Amen. You need people in your life that are going to be able to remind you, these are your standards, don't back down.
Yeah.
Or this is how far you've come, don't go back there. You know, whether it's with relationships, whether it's just overcoming, you know, maybe you have, you know, a tendency to lie or to gossip or to, you lack patience, you have anger. Having someone that is, you know, been in the Lord for a long time or, you know, can, that you look up to as a mentor and be able to give you sound spiritual advice, not just what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. That makes a world of a difference, because there's been times where I had a moment where I'm just like, man, like, I feel like sad, this and that, and just almost, you know, going back instead of moving forward. And I was able to text my mentor or able to text you or one of my best friends and be like, hey, like, I need you to reassure me of who I am in Christ so I don't fall back. And
if you've got the wrong person that you're reaching out to in that point, right. if your friend or your contact, whoever you're reaching out to, isn't in the Lord or well-founded, if they're not being wise in the advice they give you, good luck.
Yeah, and that's one thing that Proverbs 31 is so cool, because the King Lemuel in this chapter was, his mom was giving him advice. And so, again, seek wise counsel.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe, you know, because I know we're getting ready to wrap things up here and running short on time, but before we go, I would love to ask you if there is one message that you'd like to send to any of the ladies that might hear this, what would that be?
The message that God lays on my heart as I speak today is that you are loved, you are deeply valued, and I'm going to share this with all sincerity, is that not everyone was meant to desire you, to look at you. A treasure is meant to be buried deep into the ground. And not just anybody is supposed to find it. And there's going to be someone that comes into your life that God has for you. And he will be your Boaz, but you need to be patient. And you need to let God secure you in him. And don't look for a million admirers, especially in this world. A lot of people look at, well, how many guys liked you or this or that? No. It's being a woman of virtue and allowing God to shape your character. Because I promise you, you're not going to look like this when you're 80. You are not going to have, you know, super clear skin 24/7. You're not going to have a flat stomach every day. You're going to be bloated sometimes. But all jokes aside, what is really in your heart? What is it that God what is it that God wants to bring out of you that maybe you've put on the back burner? And I challenge you to seek him, and he will draw those strengths from you that you didn't even know were there, that were buried deep inside. Because maybe you forgot about how much joy you received in Jesus. And maybe this podcast is a reminder of the main thing that you need in your life. So I encourage you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love that. Kayla, would you please do us the honor of praying us out?
Yes, I will. Father God, thank you so much for this time. I feel honored that I get to be part of my Big Brothers podcast, and that I'm able to share my heart. And Lord, I thank you for this person listening to this right now. I thank you that they're so loved. I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. Yes. That is far beyond what they could comprehend right now. I thank you that you are the God of more, Ephesians 3:20. You go over and beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. But I pray that this individual listening to this right now wouldn't be so focused on what is far beyond, but that they would be focused in this present moment and be still and listen to what you want to do in their lives. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice that whether they're in motherhood, fatherhood, singlehood, anything and everywhere in between, different stage of their life, different stages, that you would just be with them where they are, God.
Yes.
That you would remind them that they're so loved and that you have a plan and purpose for their life. In Jesus' name, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for having me, Jim.
Yeah. I'm glad we said you're able to join us and just share what the Lord's put on your heart. And it was a real blessing to have you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, everyone, that's all for today. If you like the content, then please do me and others looking for a podcast like this a favor and rate and review the show. The more stars and comments that appear, the easier it is for people to find us. Be sure to like us on Facebook at The Bible Study Podcast. And if you have any suggestions, requests for study topics, or you'd like to communicate with me for any reason, including connecting to talk about your heart for missions and reaching the lost, you can reach me at thebiblestudypodcast@yahoo.com. That's thebiblestudypodcast@yahoo.com. Whether it's a compliment or a critique, I'd love to hear whatever your feedback is that you might have for me. As always, I'm your host, Jim. And this has been The Bible Study.